Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we try to extract the absolute goal from incredible sources to help you get well-informed fast. Today, we're plunging into the really often turbulent and, I think, ultimately inspiring world of Sir Elton John. Specifically, we're looking at his unflinchingly honest memoir, Me. And, you know, beyond the headlines, the spectacular showmanship, this is a really profound story. It's about identity, addiction, and that extraordinary journey to, well, self-acceptance.
Exactly. And I think our mission for this deep dive really is to understand how someone navigates that kind of global stardom, how they battle these deep personal demons and ultimately find fulfillment. And he does it by confronting his flaws, embracing who he truly is. The book's core revelation, I think, is that true happiness, it comes from within. It's not about the external validation, the applause.
And that's precisely what makes his journey so resonant, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And we're talking about Sir Elton Hercules John, born Reginald Kenneth Dwight, a global phenomenon, sold over 300 million records, career spanning 5 decades. Incredible. But what makes his memoir, Me, so uniquely powerful isn't just the, you know, the sheer scale of success, it's his incredible journey through addiction recovery, his pioneering role as an openly gay artist in, well, much less accepting times, and his profound transformation into a philanthropist and later a father.
You know, Me isn't just another rock star tell-all. It's a really deep dive into identity, the grip of addiction, that search for love, and the true, often really steep, cost of fame. What his story powerfully shows is this stark dichotomy, this split between his flamboyant public persona, Elton John, and the private, often very insecure man, Reginald Dwight. The real insight here, I think, is how stratospheric fame doesn't actually solve deep-seated personal issues. In fact, it often just amplifies them. It pushes those insecurities, those conflicts to extremes. So his real journey became about finding peace by somehow bringing these warring identities back together.
So to really get a handle on the Elton John we know today, we kind of have to start right at the beginning, don't we? Mm-hmm. With Reginald Dwight in his formative years, mm-hmm. growing up shy and insecure in Pinner, England, he paints a pretty vivid picture, doesn't he, of a challenging home life, an emotionally distant father, Stanley, who never once saw him perform live, imagine that, and a complex, often volatile mother, Sheila. His salvation, really, was his prodigious musical talent, right? The piano. That was his escape, his haven.
Yeah, and those early experiences, they really laid the groundwork for this lifelong hunger for approval, for love, that constant search for validation. It became a driving force. It established the roots for his later struggles with self-worth and ultimately his relationships, too. He was, you know, trying to fill a void that fame initially promised to address, but in the end, fame just couldn't do that.
Okay, so here's where it gets truly pivotal, I think. 1967. This insecure, incredibly talented boy meets Bernie Taupin. Huh. How did that partnership and also the deliberate creation of the Elton John persona, how did that serve as a turning point?
Oh, it was everything. Absolutely everything. That unique creative collaboration with Taupin that became the bedrock of his entire career. But the creation of Elton John, that was a very calculated act. He combined names from bandmates Elton Dean and Long John Baldry. And it was explicitly designed as a suit of armor for the shy Reginald. What's really striking, though, is how this persona, which was initially so liberating, you know, a form of self-expression, it also became a shield that created this deep psychological split. It allowed Reginald to perform with a confidence he just couldn't access in his private life. But that very separation between the man and the star that later became a huge source of his internal conflict.
And then, bang, the meteoric rise. He just exploded onto the American scene. That legendary 1970 debut at the Troubadour, almost instantly a global sensation. You've got hits like Your Song, Rocket Man, Tiny Dancer, Benny and the Jets, landmark albums, Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road. It's easy now to look back and just see the glamour, right? The private jets, adoring crowds, the costumes getting more and more outrageous. But the book reveals such immense personal struggles underneath all that glittering exterior. How did such massive success paradoxically lead to such deep personal destruction?
It's a profound paradox of fame, isn't it? It really is. All that global adoration was happening alongside crippling stage fright, immense loneliness, and this rapid descent into cocaine, alcohol, bulimia, shopping addiction, just everything. The Elton John persona, which was once that protective shield, tragically became, as he puts it, a monster that devoured Reginald Dwight. It fueled paranoia, rage, increasingly erratic behavior. The larger lesson here, I think, is that external success very rarely solves deep-seated internal issues. It's almost always an amplifier. It just makes everything bigger, the good and the bad.
So after this incredible roller coaster, I mean, the highs and devastating lows, what fundamental beliefs started to emerge for him? What core philosophy ultimately defined his journey toward recovery and eventually lasting happiness.
Yeah, his journey really seems to distill down into a few core understandings, doesn't it? First, it was about authenticity over performance. That was huge. He realized that true happiness, true creative freedom, only came when he learned to actually be himself, you know, shedding that need to hide behind the glittering persona. Second, he came to recognize addiction as a symptom, not seeing it as some moral failing, but as a misguided attempt to cope with deeper, unresolved emotional pain and confusion about who he really was. Third, there was his decades-long search for unconditional love. That love and approval he lacked as a child, he finally found it in stable relationships. And most profoundly, he talks about finding it in fatherhood. And finally, there was a real shift towards service's meaning, moving from that intense self-absorption to philanthropy. It demonstrated that purpose beyond just personal achievement brought him the most lasting fulfillment.
Every life has these moments, doesn't it? These critical shifts that just dramatically alter everything. For Elton, his memoir highlights three pivotal turning points that really stand out. Let's start with the mid-1980s. There was that seemingly desperate decision to marry Renate Blauwell in 1984, and then shortly after, significant voice loss.
Yes, that marriage, it seems like it was a desperate attempt to find some kind of stability, yet it was ultimately born from a denial of his true sexuality, which he hadn't fully confronted yet. And this whole period kind of culminated with his voice-altering throat surgery in 1987. What's really poignant there is how this became a physical and emotional symbol, a symbol of the toll his destructive lifestyle was taking. His external self was literally breaking down. It reflected the intense internal turmoil and the deep conflict he was experiencing.
Right. And as personal struggles were intensifying, the world around him was also facing this immense crisis, one that would become another profound turning point for Elton, the burgeoning AIDS epidemic of the late 1980s. He recounts losing countless friends, feeling this growing sense of helplessness. And there's a particularly powerful story about his meeting with Ryan White, the young American boy ostracized for contracting HIV.
Mm-hmm. That meeting with Ryan White, it proved to be such a powerful catalyst for Elton. Ryan's courage, his story, it just galvanized him into action. It sparked a kind of moral reckoning with his own self-destructive patterns. It was a moment where his intense personal pain connected with a wider global crisis, and it fundamentally shifted his focus from himself outwards towards helping others.
And then the final, maybe the ultimate turning point, hitting rock bottom and checking into rehab in 1990. He describes his life at that point as just an unmanageable catastrophe, physically, emotionally exhausted, addictions at their absolute peak. Ryan White's death was the final devastating wake-up call. That pushed him to check into rehab in Chicago.
It really was. It was a profound act of self-responsibility, wasn't it? A humbling, painstaking process of dismantling that Elton John monster to finally confront the frightened Reginald White underneath. He talks about doing his own laundry, making his own bed, facing himself in group therapy. Basic things, but huge for him then. He calls it, flat out, the best decision he ever made. It set him on the path to true recovery, true transformation. It just goes to show that radical personal change is always possible, doesn't it? No matter how far someone thinks they've fallen.
It really does. Elton's life isn't just some, you know, show business tale. It's a deeply human story.
Mm.
So what does his journey teach us about our own identities, maybe our own struggles, our search for happiness?
Well, I think his struggles and triumphs, they really connect to universal human experiences, don't they? First, it's about confronting insecurities. His story really highlights how unresolved childhood issues can manifest in destructive adult behaviors. It emphasizes the critical importance of self-awareness, just knowing yourself. Second, it's the power of asking for help. His journey is such a testament that no one overcomes serious challenges like addiction alone. Vulnerability isn't weakness, it's actually a profound strength. Third, it's a powerful reminder that success doesn't equal happiness. It just doesn't. External achievements don't guarantee internal contentment. True happiness is, it's an inside job, built on self-acceptance, meaningful relationships, and finding purpose. Fourth, there's the possibility of reinvention. His transformation shows it's never too late to change the direction of your life, to pursue new passions or redefine your priorities. He certainly did. And finally, maybe building a found family. The enduring power of chosen friends and partners. People like Bernie Taupin, his husband David Furnish, who provide the love and support that maybe biological family couldn't or didn't.
Okay, let's go ahead and distill this down then. If we had to pick out three powerful insights you could really carry with you from his story, what would they be?
Okay, three takeaways. First, let's say an emotional insight. Those deepest wounds from childhood, that constant hunger for approval he felt, they can actually be healed through self-acceptance and through the profound, unconditional love found in chosen family or parenthood. That brought him a peace that, you know, fame and fortune never, ever could.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
What about intellectually?
Okay, an intellectual insight. True authenticity, just being genuinely yourself, it isn't just personally liberating, it's also the ultimate wellspring of lasting creative and professional success. When he stopped performing Elton John and started simply being Elton John, or maybe even Reginald Dwight, that's when his genuine voice and his real impact truly flourished.
And a universal one.
And third, a universal insight. Radical personal transformation is always possible. Regardless of your age or how deeply entrenched destructive patterns might seem, it often begins, as it did for him, with hitting rock bottom, and then choosing vulnerability, choosing connection, and ultimately choosing service to others.
Wow. Elton's journey really reminds us of the incredible strength it takes to shed that armor we build, to face the world. So maybe for you listening, a question to think about. What Elton John persona might you be holding on to? And what would it mean to truly embrace your inner Reginald Dwight, your authentic self, just something to mull over as you go about your day? Thanks for diving deep with us. That's all for this deep dive. We appreciate you joining us for this insightful exploration into the heart of human experience.